Andrew, well, wonderful to have you in the Wild Art offices again. Our brand new offices. What do you think?
I'm impressed. I really am. Yeah, from where you were last time to here now, metamorphosis to new offices, but I think it's going to benefit you. More space, more convenience.
Yeah, I like it. And a lack of new studio. Hey?
Oh, yeah, I'm very impressed about this. Very impressed. Very impressed.
Well, good. I'm glad. We're glad to have you back. It's always such a pleasure to have you. And, you know, I remember being taught first aid by you. I must have been 21 years old. I'm now 36, I think. I might be 37. Shit. But a very long time ago. And I remember that course having a profound effect on how seriously we need to take first aid from a guiding point of view. Now, before that, I'd been to all manner of fish and chip first aid providers that come to your college or do this or do that. And it's this 2-day, very, very boring affair. So with that being said, why don't you just give us a little bit of your history? Now, folks that might be listening to this don't know that you're quite a legend within this industry, within the guiding industry, because you bring that element of both being a highly knowledgeable and qualified guide, as well as a highly knowledgeable and qualified paramedic. So maybe give us the quick 2-minute breakdown of your history. How did you get into this? Where did you start?
Okay, so I went to Potch Boys High School.
Yeah.
I was a Grantonite, matriculated from the school, military service as a medic. And that's why I fell in love with trauma care.
And military service, was that in Zimbabwe or then Rhodesia or something?
In Rhodesia, 1 year.
Yeah.
And you realize, I think, as a young man, 16, 17 years old, that if you apply just simple basic life support skills to an injured person, what a difference you can make.
Mm.
And it was like a drug that bit me. I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got into the emergency services at a young age, joined the fire department, etc. Now, when it comes to paramedical work, drug calculations can be a little bit astounding and brainwashing, especially when it comes to pharmacology. Fire department maths, on the other hand, is something totally different. Hydraulics, chemistry, physics. And if you can't do applied mathematics, all those subjects go down because they're all based on formula. Mm. So although I started off my career as a firefighter in the fire department, you know, my title is actually FART, F-A-R-T, Fire and Rescue Technician. And they say you can write that behind your name. Like, yeah, really? So after years of service in the fire department, I really enjoyed rescue. I enjoyed firefighting. Come on, every kid's dream, man.
Yeah, to rescue someone.
I want to be a fireman when I get big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my dad said to me when I was a young lad, rather be a happy fireman than an unhappy lawyer. So I took him literally and I went to the fire department. Never looked back. Never looked back. I believe it's something that you're born to do. It's not something that you do. It's who you are.
Yeah.
So from eventually a couple of years in the fire department, I changed over to the paramedical side and found it a little bit easier with the mathematics. Although there's maths involved in pharmacology, nothing to the extent of fire department mathematics. Think of the dynamics here. You've got a young fire officer on a fire engine. You've got an 18-floor building. The 16th floor is on fire. That individual has to understand building integrity and fire physics.
Fair enough. Yeah.
What does 1 liter of water weigh? Mm. 1 kilogram. Mm. Now, if he's pumping 10,000 liters of water up there, that's 10,000 kilograms.
Building, that's,
is he going to compromise the integrity of the building? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
How much pressure does he need to pump that water up on a 35-mil hose? So there's indeed a lot of formula and mathematics involved in this.
You're quite right. I've never even thought about it.
Well, people think a firefighter is a guy who stands with a hose pipe and squirts water.
Yeah.
It's far from the truth.
Yeah.
Look at your first year subjects. Applied maths, hydraulics, physics, chemistry. It's an advanced career. It really is.
Mm.
So anyway, back to the paramedical side.
Yeah.
I've bounced between military medicine, private medicine, corporate, municipal, government. Eventually found my niche. Ended up working for someone, an ex-colleague of mine, who ran his own training school. I bumped into him at the airport many, many years ago, and he said, I want you. He said, I want you to come and teach for me. I was like, are you kidding? I can't teach.
And that was specifically to teach.
Correct.
First aid.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, I don't have it. He said, you got it. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
So like a sucker, I fell for it. He phoned me up one morning and said, hey, I'm going to Hollard Insurance. We've got 25 secretaries in my classroom. I need an assistant instructor. Do you want to come along? I took it hook, line, and sinker. The whole thing was a setup, but I didn't know that. Yeah. So we arrive at Hollard Insurance. Jan gets up and introduces himself to these 25 gorgeous secretaries and then says, this is my colleague Andrew Miller, who's going to take over. Enjoy the day. And he got up and walked out. Now you're left with a case of sink or swim.
Yeah. Well, that's the best place to learn, right?
Well, come on, it's the deep end.
Yeah.
So I got up, I started teaching. Yeah, I made a couple of mistakes, but I went home that afternoon and the bug had bitten me. Yeah. I was like, this is what I want to
do. Felt like a million bucks, eh?
You know, they say a teacher never knows where his influence stops.
Mm.
And that's quite true. So logically, the more people we can train, the more lives are going to be saved. It's a mathematical formula that has to work.
Well, I mean, it takes me back to that very first course I did with you, you know, and it was so infectious, and your passion for teaching guides and people in the safari industry first aid, something that I don't think anybody that's gone through Eco Training or Bushwise or any of these providers or even Wild Eye, wherever the lodges you go to, Sabi Sabi, whatever, wherever you might train, they've never had an insight into first aid the way that you can give it. And that's what I keep going back to is I'd done all these different first aid courses before you and then finally met something like you. And there's a few teachers in your life that sort of, or mentors that you can remember. For me, one of the greatest mentors I ever had for learning the bush was Graham Cook. You know Graham very well.
Very well.
He's just an absolute legend. I know, you know, a lot of people have different opinions and so forth.
Love him or hate him.
Yeah, love him or hate him. But the man's knowledge is just incredible. And I go back to him very often and back to you very often. I mean, you're one of those people within the industry, you know, when the shit hits the fan. I've bombed you a couple of WhatsApps over the last 2-3 years that I haven't even seen you. And there's advice that comes back. And it's just, it's phenomenal to have someone like that, like you, in the industry. So
look, I think the difference is people do what they do.
Yeah.
I do what I do, but I live it. Yeah. This is not what I do. It's who I am.
Yeah. And that's the cornerstone of being a guide, right?
Right. I believe in the philosophy of training people and giving them probably the most essential life skill you will ever have. How many times have I said in the classroom? 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing, or where you are. You're the guy with the knowledge. You're the guy who can stand up, step forward, and make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Is training as many guides in this industry as possible. And it's not only the guides, you know, anyone in this wilderness tourism hospitality arena, be it from catering, HR, habitat, human resources, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Those are the guys who need to be trained. But like I said to the classroom, when something happens, it's always the guide that is called. So the guide himself should really take this close to heart. Your knowledge, your skills should be above average, really.
Yeah.
The resources you have should be above average. What's the disadvantage to wilderness medicine? You're remote and isolated.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And time is your given factor. TIME, this is my enemy, it's always against you. So it tells me the wilderness first responder, his direct patient engagement time is longer and more stressful because he waits longer for medical help to arrive.
Yeah.
And I'd like to fill that gap. You know, I can go and work for Johnson & Johnson as a sales manager, 60 grand a month company car, fly around the country. I don't want to do that. I want to train people. And I don't care if I die a pauper. The point is, when we impart life skills to another person, that person gets passionate about it. He talks to another person, pricks an interest in him, and now he wants to do first aid training.
Yeah.
So logically, the more we can train, it's a mathematical formula, the more lives will be saved. Yeah. That's a fact.
Well, thank you very much for that passion, because I can't tell you how many guides you've positively affected over your career. It's impressive. When we think at Wild Eye, ship, we need to all update our first aid again. It's not a matter of Google searching, or just get hold of Andrew. Let's see when he's got dates. Let's see if we can line this up. And I know a lot of people in the industry have that exact same thing. And I remember working at Tundatoola, and we had to do first aid, and we just couldn't get our calendars to line up with you. I was getting so frustrated because I wanted you to come train the guides and so forth. Eventually we had to go with someone else, but it's like one of those things, like you want Andrew to come and train you. Nonetheless, let's quickly get back into, how did you find yourself going from now training 25 bombshell secretaries to now you're in the bush? Where did that come from?
So I worked for a company many years ago who sent me up to Pafuri, Wilderness Adventures, Makuleki.
Yeah.
Was the very first course I ran, January 2000, 26 years ago.
Mm.
During that course, I had a look around and I realized, you know what? There's a whole industry here that is totally unsaturated. And I don't mean to use the word exploited, but you know what I mean by it.
Absolutely.
It's not utilized.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is my gap. So after working for other people for a couple of years, eventually got the courage, saved up, broke away, started the Smart Solution. Yeah. I couldn't be happier if I was good looking triplets, because now you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
And it's never a case of my way or the highway.
Yeah.
There's a lot of leeway here. But I believe this particular subject, emergency care, wilderness, tourism, hospitality, there's only one way to do it. And that's the right way.
Yeah.
And anything below that, not worth it.
Yeah.
So from the corporates, I did the wilderness course, worked for these people for a couple of years, and eventually thought, you know what, I'm going to go out and do this on my own. Mm. And I can remember very vividly my boss saying to me on the last day that I worked for him, "You don't have what it takes. You're never going to make it, etc." And I was like, "Bring it on, man. Because the more you say it, the more I'm going to do it."
Yeah.
Well, theoretically, that was 20 years ago. because I got my license in 2006.
Yeah.
And right through what happened in 2020, we're still here. We've got a huge support base. People believe in what we do. Absolutely. I've got a massive client base.
Yeah.
Look, I get rather embarrassed when people say, you know, Andrew Miller, you're a legend. Yeah. I really get embarrassed about that.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that it comes from appreciation, but this word legend, I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I know a lot about this industry and I can contribute a lot, but the words expert and legend, I just get a blushed face when I hear that, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I think it's for people that are listening to this, a lot of our, you know, people from the States and all over the world, the safari industry does have these legends, right? These shining stars, you know, I don't know about experts, but they'll have legends, you know, and you are certainly one of them. She's always a pleasure to have you around and to learn from you and to know that you are still within the industry and you're still a resource that young guys can pull on or reach out to. So I know it's a bit weird being called a legend, but you are one of those legends.
Well, I mean, let's look at the brass tacks here. Yeah. I said you got my license in 2006. That was 20 years ago. So then I was 43.
Yeah.
I'm now 63.
Yeah.
But I'm 100% committed to this industry and I will never lose my passion and I'll never give it up. I will train until I'm 80. When my knees give in, that's the day I'll stop training.
So what made you, you know, obviously you've discovered this niche, this beautiful thing of teaching wilderness first aid and all the intricacies that come with that, from snake bites to now you're in the middle of the Makaleki, 4 hours away from anywhere. What made you then decide to go, well, cool, this paramedic thing's great, teaching's amazing, but I actually want to become a guide as well. I want to do my trails, I want to do my Fagasa, I want to do all of these things. Because now you actually, maybe go over your qualifications quickly from a Fagasa point of view.
Okay, so I have a Fagasa 1, Fagasa 2, trails, ARH, VPDA, safety, etc.
So
no.
That means that, just for folks listening, that means that Andrew's also a very highly qualified safari guide.
Yes,
not from a driving point of view, but from a walking point of view too, which is
correct. Yeah. Look, I'll never work as a guide.
Yeah.
But I've just got one philosophy. If I'm going to train a surf lifeguard, I feel personally it's appropriate for me to hold a lifeguard qualification.
Absolutely.
Why?
Fair enough.
So I can understand his job description and approach emergency care first aid from his perspective. Now let's take that up into wilderness tourism.
Yeah.
Years ago, when I approached Fagasa, Grant Hine was the big boss there. And I went to Grant and I said, hey, I want to do this for Fagasa. And he leaned forward in his desk and he looked me in the eye and he said, you're not the first person to come and say that. So I'm going to say this to you. Don't tell me, show me. Freaking cool. I went away and I wrote a wilderness first aid emergency manual, level 1, 2, and 3.
I wrote the book.
I came back to him and I presented them to him. He said, right, this is what I want now. Now you can have Fagasa. And that's where it started, you know? Mm-hmm. I remember coming home from my last job and my wife said to me, where's your company car? And I was going to say, it's in the workshop. I was like, you know what, just let's let the cat out the bag.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't have one anymore. She stopped mid-stride and turned around and said, are you taking drugs? You're a father. You're a husband. You're a business owner. You're going to be a business owner. You don't have a client. You don't have a bucky. You don't have a computer. You have nothing. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to her, in 2 years' time, I'm going to have so much work, I can't do it all. Ha, ha, mm-hmm. ha. So here's the thing. Be careful what you wish for. Mm-hmm. You might just get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've developed the concept. Conceive, believe, achieve. I conceived an idea in my head. I believed in that idea. And then I achieved that idea. So now I'm 26 years down the passage of wilderness tourism hospitality. And because of who I've made myself in this industry, I think I'm really the only person now who travels this entire country, 5,000-6,000 Ks a month, all 9 provinces, teaching an essential life skill to the wilderness tourism hospitality industry. There's no one who does this.
Yeah.
No one.
And other people that do, I mean, it's easy to find a training provider that will come to your lodge and train you, but those people that come through, no disrespect to them, they're probably very well qualified and they have knowledge, but they understand the intricacies of working out in remote Africa.
So the very first course I ran for Fagasa was actually for the Fagasa head office. Mm. Grant, Jilly, Brian, and all the staff, Bernice, etc.
Yeah.
And I ran a 2 or 3 day course for them. And Grant came to me and said, Andrew, if you want to get into this industry, you've got to change your thesis. Get rid of all the car smashes and all your urban rescue stuff and present a wilderness course.
Yeah. What happens when the scorpion nails?
Exactly. Now, 20 years later, my knowledge has increased a hundredfold. Mm. I've become educated. I've had mentors in this industry who've stopped and given me 5 minutes out of their day and taught me something to help me become a better facilitator, better instructor, better person.
Yeah.
I'm thankful to those people. Because I'm at a level now where we talk about this day and this year where I've reached my utopia. I really have.
Yeah. You said that you had mentors in this. And who are some of your mentors from this?
Okay, my mentors.
Yeah.
Richard Sarri.
Yeah.
Lee Guthridge.
Yes.
Okay. Alan Yeowart.
Yeah.
Andre Van Zyl. Ian Outram. These are the guys who've actually stopped. These are the old level 3 for Gazas SKSDs of yesterday.
A lot of the names that you just mentioned are the guys that literally wrote the book, just like you wrote the Wilderness.
Do you tell you something? I remember sitting down and watching a video about Bruce Lawson.
Yeah, yeah.
And while he's being interviewed, he turned to the camera and he said, "When I did my training, there was no textbooks."
Yeah.
Now, listen to that statement.
Yeah.
There was no textbook. So how did they do their learning? They were sent out into the Tlatin, into the bush, to go and do their research there. Now, that's the best kind of training. Look at a student today. Yes, they pay a large lot of money to get into these training schools, but you walk in, all your research has been done. Yeah. You're getting 3 books on trees, 2 on snakes, 2 on ethology, 2 on climatology, 2 on this. All your research has been done. All you have to do is sit back as a student and learn. Mm. But the old way of doing it, by going out and doing your research,
going and making the mistakes,
what better training than that?
Yeah, than that. Well, it, you know, for those, just quickly to touch on Bruce Lawson, for those that are listening, Bruce Lawson's most probably, I don't know how many hours is on now, maybe you can
correct 24,000 hours.
24,000, yeah. So folks, Bruce Lawson is one of the most experienced trails guides across Africa with 24,000 hours spent on foot with guests or students in a teaching role, in a guiding role, even just by himself. He's been hit by elephants.
And he walked from Namibia to Cape Town. And he's walked the Australian outback, not north, south, east, west.
And during COVID, he walked like 100 kilometers during COVID, or 1,000, whatever.
Legend.
So, yeah, he's an absolute legend.
But now, you see, that individual is a legend.
Yeah.
I'm still earning my legend badge.
I think you're there.
You're there. I appreciate that.
Yeah. But, it's always fantastic. Maybe to wrap this up, because we actually do have to get back to our course.
Well, let me just say something here quickly before we wrap up.
Sure.
Like I spoke to your boss this morning, Jono, I appreciate these wild eye courses.
Yeah.
And I'm not being derogatory about a student in a training school. The point is, these quality courses is just that, quality. Mm. Wild eye, to get in here, you've got to be the cream on top of the cream. I know that.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, take anybody off the street. They handpick their people. Mm. They're selected. So people who work for wildlife are indeed the legends of this industry. They are the cream of the cream. And I'm not only proud to be associated with wildlife, but I appreciate these training courses because it's mature, it's in-depth, it's research-based, and we can achieve something here. Yeah.
Well, thank
you. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, thank you. It's always a pleasure when you say that. You know, it makes us feel proud too.
Well, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
You know? I wouldn't say it.
But thank you so much. For those of you that are listening, we're busy doing our 2-day Wilderness First Aid course currently here in Wild Eye's head office in Johannesburg. And so we thought we'd get Andrew in for a quick podcast. We haven't had a chance to chat with you like this before.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for making the
time. Oh, yeah, pleasure. And we're about to get back to some CPR training and choking management.
Thanks, folks. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions for Andrew, please get in touch with us by info@wildeye.com. And we'll feed those over to Andrew. Otherwise, look him up. He's a fantastic training provider of Wilderness First Aid. And he's well worth your time. If you're a lodge manager or a guide listening to this right now, he's your guy. Get in touch. Get real bush first aid training from the best of the best. I cannot stress that enough. Thanks, Andrew.
Look, I appreciate that, and thank you for the opportunity.
That's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers, folks.